Welcome to the No Nonsense Trivia Podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Quizmaster Lee. I'm here with Quizmaster Mark Davis.
Here we go again.
Yeah.
Are you ready to ride this pony?
You know I am.
Yes.
You know I am.
As am I.
Yeah. It's been quite the ride this week.
It has been.
Down here in Southwest Florida.
It has been.
You've had a you had a little publicity blip in Florida Weekly.
A little bit of a blurb.
Yeah. Yeah. About your time on the Three Song Stories podcast.
Yeah. We will be having, I believe, Mike Canary, who is the host of that podcast, on here soon. But he and Tara and Richard, who all work for our local NPR station, put on this podcast called Three Song Stories, where they basically ask you about songs that remind you of specific events in your life. And they were kind enough to ask me on, talked a little bit about this podcast. They
talked about the no-no?
Yeah. Mentioned
nice.
The no-no.
Nice.
And I made sure not to call it no-nothing.
Thank you.
You're welcome. He immediately after we got done, he's like, so when am I going to be on your podcast? So we're working on getting that done.
Yeah. And that won't work for everyone, but for Mike Canary.
Yeah, absolutely.
It will work. Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely.
And then Florida Weekly wrote about it in their Southwest Florida podcast to watch. I noticed we were not listed.
Yeah.
In that, you know,
it kind of upset me.
A little bit.
Kind of wish they would have mentioned it, because I feel like as far as local podcasts are concerned, mm-hmm. we're doing okay.
We're doing great. I mean, it didn't really bother me, just because I'm thinking about, you know, how many new listeners we're getting every week and stuff. People are writing in, you know, and explaining like, hey, you know, you're helping us out with our local trivia, that feels good, you know, and people just messaging and saying, hey, I like this week's episode, you
yeah
know? So we've been growing steadily for 9 months, I would say. Usually when I do these little ventures, I look at the metrics and there's little plateaus and then you get a little spike, you know, but this podcast, the no-no, it's
this,
doing
this
something
little boy.
And somebody tell Florida Weekly about us, and tell other organizations as well, please.
Yeah, get the word
yeah
out.
Yeah,
please. But yeah, so you know, it's season here, which you know, a lot of people listening, if anybody's listening up north or they're not from here, mm-hmm. this is kind of prime time for us, because everybody's down here.
Lots of people from away, as they would say in Maine.
Indeed,
from away.
Yeah. We've been getting hit really, really hard. I don't know how it's been for your trivias, but
it's been popping lately. Lots more, I don't want to say lots more, but there's been a noted increase in the number of people coming out that aren't from the area, or just, you know, they come back every year and just, oh yeah, I didn't realize this place had trivia. You know, I came here once or twice last time I was here. And
yeah, well, we've talked a couple times about you getting a lot of the just passing through
mm-hmm.
at like number three.
Yep.
Specifically, I think more probably number three in Bury Me.
Yeah.
It's like just passing through, wanted to grab a beer.
Right.
Heard this place is good. You know, they brew their own beer here or whatever. They just got a good beer selection, et cetera, mm-hmm. et cetera. There just happened to be trivia, so
right.
we played. And I've been getting a fair number of those too. Just a lot of people just kind of passing through, just here for a week or so, or here, you know, we just had our spring break. And you know, it's still spring break for a couple of other states. So
right.
a lot of those people, as they're taking their spring breaks, are coming down and flooding Fort Myers Beach and getting jiggy with it.
Na 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 na.
Na 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 na.
Getting jiggy with it. That trivia.
Getting trivia with it.
That's the famous next line of that song. That Will
Smith
song.
By the way, trademarked. Mm-hmm. I'm trademarking getting trivia with it.
Getting trivia with it?
Yeah.
It's yours.
Okay.
I mean, I know there's some legal steps you have to go through to trademark
it. Well,
but this will be a verbal documentation. Yeah, we'll email the file.
We'll email the file.
You see the date.
Sorry, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, I feel like, you know, there's been different population spikes on my trivia before, but this time I feel like I've got a little bit better of a handle on it. I think it's just like the limited amount of experience I've had since last season. You know, I came into the game basically at the end of last winter. And so a lot of people left, you know, very quickly, and that kind of let me cut my teeth on a smaller player base, so
to
speak, you know?
Yeah.
So it's good, you know, it's practice makes perfect, as they say.
Yeah. And, you know, just kind of adjusting to getting through questions quicker and stuff like that,
mm-hmm.
and knowing like how much time you have in between questions and when you need to be done by with a group of, you know, if you've only got like five teams, you can kind of
meander.
Yeah. You can kind of wax poetic. and take your time and it's no big deal. But when you got that crunch going, when you got like 12 teams, it's da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
Yeah.
Next question, da-da-da-da-da, just like flying through.
Right.
Which is frustrating. Like last night at Nice Guys, you know, we kind of got this sudden pop. We had probably like six teams and then three or four teams walked in at the same time, like right at 9 o'clock. And by the time I got done, by the time I get to the third round, everybody's got four or five beers in them.
Right.
There's a lot of din, a lot of conversation, and you're trying to get through because you got all these teams, but at the same time, everybody's being loud. Question number 13, like people don't care anymore.
It's yeah.
Like, in the beginning, it's like question number 13, or like question number 3, there's a hush. By the time you get question 13, everybody's, their bellies are full.
Yeah.
You know, they're full of drink.
Right.
And food, and they just want to talk.
Yeah. I try not to take it personally. Sometimes, like, you know, a team will say, like, oh, well, we're just going to step outside for this round and smoke and talk and not play. Oh,
I definitely don't take it personally,
you know?
But it's harder.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. If there's loud.
Because you're trying. Yeah.
If there is loud.
Yeah. So you're trying to get through quicker.
Yeah.
But you got people just not listening. It's like, guys, like, let me, like, get quiet a little bit so I can ask this question and not go around and have to repeat questions for everybody. So.
Yeah. Do you kill the music entirely when you read the questions?
I do.
Right?
Yeah.
I used to try and mix it down real low, but it's just better to kill it. Last night I had it tried to mix low and I was looking in the back and people, I could see their heads popping up. Like, what is he saying?
Right.
You know? So then I turned the gain up. Hot mic.
Do you turn your music up? I'm trying to think. Do you turn your music up pretty loud during the discussion parts?
I try to make it as loud as possible, but not obnoxious, basically. Yeah. That's, you know.
Nice Guys, we get it almost obnoxious, too obscure, because it's so small that it's very easy to hear from team to team.
Yeah.
And sometimes, you know, I'll turn it up and I'll hear someone be like, oh, Nebuchadnezzar.
Yeah.
And I'm like, shut up. Like, I can hear you. You know, someone else is going to be able to hear you.
It kind of depends on the house system. I have one venue that has a PA instead of house speakers throughout the venue. So at that one, I can't go too loud because I just blast out. In my attempt to reach loudness at the end of the venue, I blast out everybody that's sitting in front.
Right, yeah.
So that's
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, that's not polite to them. But, you know, at any opportunity I get, I try to hook into the house system so I can just, you know, have my voice and the music carry out throughout the hall, the trivia hall. But yeah. So busy times. Thanks to all of our teams coming out and trying out our trivias. Thanks to everybody for listening to the podcast. In fact, we got a couple miscorrections we should probably just take care of real quick here.
What the hell was that?
That was me doing the Rate My Question theme.
Oh, okay.
We're flipping it this week.
It just sounded like you were doing it in a different key.
I don't know why. I just feel like we haven't been in sync on the themes lately, and we're always oppositing each other with the wrong one.
Yeah.
It's a big F up, but not as big as me saying that Laos was in Africa last week.
Yeah.
Holy hell, did I want to cut that from the episode.
I'm glad you didn't.
It would have been entirely unethical to do that, and I would have, I think, depriving our listeners of some good comedy.
Well, and you know, it's funny because I was talking to someone, I can't remember who it was, but I said something about memory, and someone was like, you're a trivia host. And I was like, it doesn't mean that I'm smart. You know what I like? And, you know, I wanted to be like, if you listen to the podcast, you'd know.
It's very humbling.
You would be very underwhelmed. Like, if you think that. If you think that just because I'm a trivia host, I remember everything I ask, you are very wrong.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it happens.
Laos, not in Africa,
in
as
Asia.
We clarified in the episode, but
indeed.
I do want to try and redeem myself a little bit. What I was thinking of was Lagos, which is a city in Nigeria, not a country.
Yep.
But for some reason, the G dropped down. And that's why I was like, this is definitely Africa.
Yeah.
Anyway, we do have an actual miscorrection here from Gil. Gil writes in, Richard Belzer's character, Detective Munch, was in Homicide: Life on the Streets and Law and Order. It is the same character after all.
Holy cow.
Yep. So that is one flub from that segment. Overall, though, I think everything that we guessed were actually network shows, not cable shows. So we were barking up the wrong tree constantly in that segment. Those were all network shows. Sopranos was obviously on cable, HBO.
Right.
But Walker, Texas Ranger was on CBS. Homicide: Life on the Street, or maybe Walker's on ABC. They were all network shows is what I'm getting
right.
at. What I'm getting at. And some of our listeners might even be too young to even understand network and, you know, cable.
Yeah, it's a cable. Strange distinction. Yeah. What do you mean cable? Yeah, remember the red boxes with the red number, or the boxes with the red... red numbers you'd flip through.
Yeah, that would keep you awake at night at friend sleepovers. Just be staring at you, 8-8.
My favorite number when I was a kid was 24 because that's the channel that MTV was on.
Nice. And you probably thought, one day I'll be 24. And then...
those days were long gone. Long gone are my 24 years.
Yep. All right. So those are our miscorrections for the week. Thanks for sending that in, Gil. All right. Now let's quick weekly wrap up and then we'll get right into our trivia.
Sounds good to me.
All right. First, at number three last Thursday, was Deputy Dan and the Squeaky Chairs who won the evening with 89 points. On Monday, All the King's Horses and All the King's Moist Men won with 112 points, which makes three wins in a row for them. At Three Pepper, actually. Moist Team has won three times in a row. We also had our ceremony, the Triple Crown ceremony, where they got gift cards to all our venues and a Triple Crown to wear. We'll post a link to that in the show notes. It's also on our Instagram and our Twitter accounts. But they were actually unseated at number three this week from their Triple Crown. No Pants Friday, earning a new top score at the venue, 117 points. That was this week. Whew. So it was a short-lived victory, but they are the only Triple Crown winners we've had so far. It looks like that No Pants Friday is going to seek to challenge them. On Wednesday at Bearing Me Brewing, DFWM won with a unspecified amount of points that I don't have here right now. But congratulations to them.
Ooh.
Yeah. It was a decent amount of points. They earned it. This is like in the... but anywhere,
it was more than anyone
anywhere
else.
Between 60 and 105 points. Okay. Somewhere in there. Yeah.
Perfect.
How about you?
Yeah, the team that ended up pulling out the win at the end was Goodwill Humping. We had that's Jamie's team. It was Seth mm-hmm. and Jamie.
A twofer.
Teaming up.
Wow. Dangerous duo.
Yeah, along with Aaron and some other... well, I'm sorry, yeah. Well, they are a dangerous duo.
Yeah.
I feel like they complement each other really well.
Mm-hmm.
Aaron, who was also on the four-year anniversary team, and two of his friends stopped in. So they had a pretty good team going. Pretty strong team.
Good for them. Goodwill Humping.
I think maybe their friend, or Jamie's friend Jill, was there too. So they crushed it at the end of the night. They had a nearly perfect last round. They didn't win... I think they won the second round. They didn't win the first round, but they had a nearly perfect last round. But wrong last question, only wagered one. So they did the smart thing.
Oh, okay. A couple times this week, I had teams wager nothing on a correct last question.
Mm.
And that stings. That
What's
stings
worse?
To see. Worse is getting it right and not wagering. That's way worse because... You're never closer to winning than that. You didn't get it wrong.
But I'm thinking between that and getting it wrong and wagering 20 and knocking yourself out of contention.
But this is under the assumption, I guess, that you're right. You're actually right, you know.
Yeah. Well,
so you don't know if you're wrong until the thing's read. That is the quandary for sure. But I think it's worse to get the question right and wager nothing than it is to get the question wrong and wager everything. You got nothing to lose, basically.
I feel like in a world with so many, but I mean, when you lose those 20 points, it can knock you out of the lead real easy.
It really depends on your positioning and your confidence, you know, obviously in the answer.
Well, obvious, yeah. But I mean, obviously those people didn't have much confidence. That's the quandary, is that You're thinking, it's kind of like you were talking about before when you were trying to do the give people a point just for
right.
like guessing.
Yeah.
It's, you know, you're like, oh, okay, like what country is something? And you're like, well, it could be any of these like 50 countries.
Mm-hmm.
And you're just like, we're just going to fucking say, you know, Laos.
Right.
And just, you know, hope. And then you're like, but it's probably not right. Let's just be honest. And you wager nothing only to find out it was right. And it's like, well, what the fuck were the chances that we were going to get that fucking right?
Yeah, we're going to see how your confidence is on that question, because I'm going to be asking it to you later in our final question segment. But in case you missed us live and you want to join us for a no-nonsense trivia challenge or a Nice Guys Pizza trivia, you can catch us this week, April 1st, at Three Pepper Ooh. Burrito Company for three rounds of April Fool's inspired trivia questions.
Can't wait to see what the hell this is.
It's going
to
be great. It's going to be a wacky, fun time. We'll include some foolishly fun bonus rounds and, of course, some very special prizes. It's going to be quite fun. Join us on April 1st, 2019 at Three Pepper Burrito Company in downtown Fort Myers at 7:30. If you're listening to this episode on day one that it comes out, it's tonight.
It's tonight.
Make your way down there.
April Fools.
Yep. No, no April Fools. This
no
is,
April Fools.
This is the one true thing you'll hear today. We're also going to be on at Bury Me Brewing on
By
April
the way, I
3rd.
Hate April Fool's Day.
Yeah, I'm not. I mean, I've warmed up to it. I've gone through phases, peaks and valleys, peaks and valleys.
And happy birthday to Bobby Feldman.
Yeah,
it's his birthday
today. If April you're listening 1st. To this,
yeah,
I don't think you
listen. Someone tell him to listen to
yeah,
this.
Yeah, yeah. We'll be at Bury Me Brewing Company on April 3rd, not April Fool's. That's also true. Then we'll swing over to Nice Guys Pizza on Wednesday, April 3rd, and see Mark Davis.
Hit me.
Hosting some trivia
Hi.
Over there, downtown Cape Coral. And then the next night, also in downtown Cape Coral, right across the street, we'll be at Number 3 Craft Brews and Beer Bar on April 4th. That show starting at 7:30. Come out. Try your hand at some trivia. We've got categories based on your own desires. If you come and suggest some categories for the following week, we will ask questions based on those categories. You can find more information about all of our events online at nononsensetrivia.com. They are free to play. Join us.
Won't you? That was almost good.
It was almost good.
So close.
The Not one, as bad the as one the Lenny Kravitz.
Week, the yeah. one last week was chilling to hear.
Yeah, it's close to, I think, what they describe on South Park as the brown note.
Yeah.
Basically, we almost achieved something disastrous.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to jump right into some questions, round number one.
What a great break.
It was very breaky.
Very rusty.
The only way it could have been more breaky is if we had some breaky.
Here's your first question.
Yep.
Nursultan Nazarbayev resigned after ruling what country for nearly three decades?
Hmm.
This would be under
I can't
the category
even repeat
of
the name that you
current
just mentioned.
Events.
Yeah.
Nursultan Nazarbayev.
Nursultan Nazarbayev. Resigned. Three yep. decades, you said?
29 years.
I feel like I maybe saw this in the news this week, but again, and see now I'm I was thinking, is it Sudan? But I believe Sudan was the answer to the question that I was saying was Laos.
That is correct.
So that's, oh man, that's, it would be an interesting coincidence if they were both Sudan, if the answer was, but I don't think it is. Yeah. I don't think it is. Where was it? Brunei is in the news, but not for that reason. I guess the country of Brunei is set to criminalize homosexuality by punishment of stoning and something else too. It's very brutal. So I don't think it's that. I mean, that would be cause, I think, for somebody to resign, but that's, I don't think that's even like a resignable position. The person that's enforcing that, I think that's like a prince or something. So it's not Sudan. It's not Brunei. I'm just going to go down all the countries of the world here, you know, basically. And now I'm distracted because Kyle left a full cup of coffee in here, and I know that's the last coffee in the house.
Ooh, it's
just sitting
iced
there,
coffee, too.
And it's full.
It is full.
I'm going to have to grab that in a second.
No problem.
I don't know. It's not coming to me. Maybe it is Sudan. Maybe. That was the first one that came to me. I'm going to go with it.
What if I told you that maybe he resigned because his wife, she is dead?
Like, literally dead or figuratively dead, like Theresa May?
Figuratively, jokingly dead.
Jokingly? Jokingly dead?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know. That's intriguing, though. I don't know.
The correct answer is Kazakhstan.
Oh, I see what you were doing there.
You see that?
Yeah. Okay. That is a Borat reference. A reference to the movie Borat.
I was not going to do a Borat impression.
That would have helped me out a lot.
I thought so. But that's what I thought was interesting was just giving you the baby version.
Hmm. Interesting. Yeah. That hint would have helped. Maybe, I don't know. Maybe you could have buried that in for me somewhere in there a little bit. A little,
wife. What if I had said his wife, she is dead? Would that have helped?
That would have been a little tiny hint. Yeah, okay. I don't know that I would have gotten it from that. But anyway.
There's too many Borat impressions out there for me to... I was one of those guys too, you know, that just constantly, but I...
I feel like now, though, it's lame and you could do it again because it's been lame for so long.
See, that's the thing. It's now it's just too lame.
Yeah, it comes in waves. I think it's like that's what she said. You know, you have to wait for the dust to settle.
Yeah.
The dust has to completely settle. So the subject... has forgotten about it. Then you can spring it on him. A Borat impression, or that's what she said.
There's still some pretty funny my wife Borat jokes on Twitter.
Yeah.
Every once in a while. That's a hot hashtag on Twitter. No, just like
Borat funny, wife jokes.
Funny people that know that it's dead but can pull it off because it's funny because it's dead.
Yep.
Not his wife, but the joke.
Gotcha.
The joke, it is dead. All right.
Here, this is a art term.
My joke.
All right. This joke is like Borat's wife. It's dead, you see? Art etymology is the category here. Christ. What art supply's name comes from the Greek name for what we call pot, weed, the devil's lettuce, dank nugs, or simply marijuana? What art supply's name? Comes from the Greek name for what we call pot, weed, the devil's lettuce, dank nugs, or marijuana. And I'll clarify.
Jazz cabbage.
Yes. the jazzed cabbage. I'm going to clarify for you. It's just the type of an art supply, not a brand name.
Okay.
Something you can use to make art. From the Greek name.
Yeah, I have no clue. Art supply. Painting, sculpting, all kinds of weird shit. Greek name for marijuana. Man. So many different kinds of art. Initially, I was just thinking painting, but art is so much more.
It is pretty broad. And the Greeks had some experience with it.
They did a lot of shit with clay. Marijuana. Weed. Electric lettuce. So they call it on Letterkenny. I feel so in the fucking, so in the weeds with this.
No pun intended. Or maybe a little bit.
Maybe a little bit.
maybe a little pun intended.
There's a little pun in there. Jesus. I'll say brush.
Like the brush on the hillside or something like that. Like, let's smoke this brush.
Yeah.
Fellow Greeks.
Hey, Greeks.
Hello, my fellow Greeks. well, I'll tell you, the Greek word for hemp is cannabis, which you swap the K for a C during its transition into Latin. And the word in Latin that means something made from hemp is canvas. Canvas.
Holy shit.
That's the lineage there of terms. So canvas and cannabis, same word origin.
Wow.
Basically, you got hemp and then made from hemp.
That's really, really interesting. I never knew that. That is what we like to call edutainment. All right, here's your next question.
Mm-hmm.
Which book of the Bible recounts the story of Noah and the Ark?
All right, so not great with biblical trivia here.
You were raised a Jew.
Yep. Mm-hmm. This is Old Testament, though, so I should know this, actually.
Well, yes.
Deuteronomy, I believe, is a bunch of rules and stuff. I think it's post-Genesis.
Which would be any book in the New Testament or Old Testament.
Genesis?
Genesis is the first book, so you said if it's post-Genesis, it's any book.
Yeah. I'm just saying, I don't believe it happened in Genesis.
Gotcha.
I'm trying to think of other Genesis. I don't know. It's not coming to me. I'll go with Deuteronomy because that's the only one I can remember right now off the top of my head. Curse these questions. Curse them.
A lot of people guessed Exodus, which is a really good guess.
Yeah.
Because you think of, like, you know, leaving.
Right.
The correct answer actually is Genesis.
It is Genesis.
It is.
Well, fool me three times, shame on me three times. I've got a question for you.
Okay.
Are you a baseball fan? Okay, that's not the trivia question.
I mean, I'm into, I get into it in, like, October. I get into, like, the playoffs.
When it's serious.
Yeah.
Not these...
Too many games.
Not these 300 games that precede.
Too many games. Yeah. 170, 180 games. 100... Jesus Christ.
Many people are excited.
Or whatever.
About it returning, so...
130 is too many, too. Like, 100 whatever games is just too many.
Yeah. I think it's up there in the upper 100s.
That's the thing that's exciting to me about football. You start getting, like, week 4 out of 16.
You know where you're at.
It means something.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, oh, shit. That's why people are trying to add more games. I'm like, don't. It's nice that it's rare.
Yeah.
You know? It's like how we talked about with TV shows.
And, like, it's not like there's an absence of content.
Yeah. But, you know.
Think back in the day, baseball, you had jack shit to do a lot of the time. There was, like, not a lot of options. You'd walk down the street and watch some baseball every day, you know? Anyways... If you're one of those people that still enjoys these many, many games of baseball, you're probably going to get this one easy. Maybe if you're even just a tertiary sports fan and you can just dunk on anybody that you're listening with or know in your life. The question is, the Millville Meteor. Do you know whose nickname that is? We'll just go with the hardest version possible. Okay, here's some hints. The Millville Meteor is the nickname of what center fielder for the Los Angeles Angels with whom the player recently re-signed a record-setting contract worth upwards of $430 million.
Okay, the contract is what gave it away.
Yep.
But it's one of two guys because I know they're both considered two of the best.
I'm looking for the center fielder.
Well, I don't know positions like that. There's Bryce Harper and there's Mike Trout.
What if I told you that this player also was unanimously selected as the Rookie of the Year in the Players Association in 2012?
Yeah. Is it one of those two?
Yes, Mark.
Okay, that's what I thought. Bryce Harper.
No, it's the Fish Man, Mike Trout.
Fucking motherfuck.
Why doesn't he have a fish nickname? You would have gotten it. If his
Seriously.
Nickname was like... The angelic fish, the fish of light, Mike Trout. Seriously, though, if you know, I seriously wonder why he does not have a fish nickname. It seems obvious to me. The Millville Meteor.
Yeah.
Maybe he was like, please, no more fish nicknames, please.
Yeah, it's probably too on the nose. He's like, that's like, come on, you can do better than that.
He's like, hey, Fishman. He was like, I've been called that for 20 years now.
Hey, Aquaman. All right, here is your last question.
Mm-hmm.
In 1937, at the Louisiana State Fair, I'm sorry, let me take that again. In 1937, at the Louisiana State Fair, is that better? A company called Bendix introduced the first automatic what?
I'm sorry, what was the year again?
The year was 1937. The setting was the Louisiana State Fair.
The first automatic what?
Bendix.
B-E-N-D-I-X?
That's it.
Thank God.
B-E-N-D-I-C-K-S.
I got scared for a second. Automatic machine that bends dicks.
Well,
better bend it in the right way.
Maybe you can, I was gonna say maybe you can make some adjustments and get it to work for you instead of against you.
Well, the tug's a little strong, but this'll do. Bendix, the first automatic what at the 1937 Louisiana Fair.
Louisiana. Maybe Baton Rouge.
Very good.
Thank you. I'm part French, so.
It takes a lot of work to get three syllables into the ooh sound. But.
Baton Rouge. You gotta really feel the O and the U both, you know?
Yeah.
Baton Rouge.
I'm gonna say... This is gonna be totally off the wall. Is it an off the wall answer? Is this just a crazy thing?
No.
No? Oh, okay.
I don't think so. I don't think so.
I was gonna say like a crawfish diviner or a,
Jesus,
shrimp diviner or something like that. No, it's not that.
No.
All right. Well, I just thought with Bendix, you know, it's like bending the shrimp, you know, cracking them. Is it a lobster declaw?
I don't think one of those things exists now.
$1 million idea right there. Take it to Shark Tank.
Maybe they considered it what do they call it?
Like, cruel?
Yeah.
Cruel. Just flat out cruel. Sounds kind of cruel. I don't know how much pain those the shrimp feel, honestly.
I don't think they feel any, but who knows?
Yep. Who really knows? First automatic, 1937, in Louisiana. What do they got down there? They got beignets.
New Orleans. Mm-hmm.
They got beignets. They've got the Southern Gothic style unlock in literature and media.
They've got season
not
one.
Not very automatic.
True Detective. Mm-hmm.
And True Blood.
Oh, yeah.
They got the double true.
Lafayette. Oh, Sladell.
I don't know, man. I just don't feel like there's enough for me to go on here. Bendix? I don't recognize that. I don't know much about Louisiana. 1937.
You're really stuck on the Louisiana thing, but I don't think you should be.
Okay.
Just because it was at the Louisiana State Fair doesn't mean that it was...
At the State Fair, 1937, automatic. It goes effortlessly. It does its... It just moves on its own. It completes a task totally on its own.
All of a sudden, buy you're writing
this,
ad.
Use this
ad copy.
Yeah, I want to say like ticket teller. That's I think too early for something like that. Automatic roller coaster? No, can't be that. Automatic bull. Automatic bull for rodeo riding.
Automatic bull. I thought you said bowl.
Oh.
The correct answer is washing machine.
Oh, okay. Wow.
Automatic washing machine.
Guess it stank down there in the swamp.
Oh, these stinky people.
Shout out to my Australian Shepherd Bayou, who's named Bayou because I picked him up in Louisiana.
In the bayou?
Mm-hmm. He smelled really bad. I was like, whoa, you smell like a swamp.
Did you put him in an automatic washing machine?
Nope, manual only for that pupster.
Good call.
Here is your third and final question for this round. This is a question of phrases. When completing a simple set of instructions, you might say, voila, in French, or easy as pie here in the States. But what would you say in England? In Great Britain, there is a version of this phrase where someone is your uncle. Who is your uncle in the British version of this phrase? You would complete a simple set of steps, and then you would say, blank's your uncle.
I've never heard this before. Mom's your uncle.
That was a good guess.
Thanks.
I had a team write down, uncle's your uncle.
Uncle's your uncle.
Yeah, it makes sense. It's not the phrase, though. The phrase is, Bob's your uncle. Bob is your uncle. Bob's your uncle, is what you would say. From Wikipedia here, a common theory is that this expression arose after Conservative Prime Minister Robert Bob Cecil appointed his nephew Arthur Balfour as Chief Secretary for Ireland in 1887, an act which was apparently both surprising and unpopular, whatever all other qualifications Balfour might have had, Bob's your uncle was seen as the reason that he got the job.
Gotcha.
Bob's your uncle. Gotcha. So all you got to do is do these 1, 2, 3, and Bob's your uncle. You got the job.
There you go. Bob's your uncle.
Yep. Yeah. So those are our three questions.
Well, okay. None of those were really Bob's your uncle easy.
No. You got one.
Yeah, I got one. Mm-hmm. Go me. Yep. But we'll see how the second round goes. We'll take another quick break.
Wait, you didn't get any.
Did I not?
No.
Okay.
You got the fishman wrong.
I did get the fishman wrong.
Did I get any right?
You know what? I think you did not.
Another one of these.
Maybe you did. Another one of these. Let's see here.
We're getting so used to asking each other questions.
And nope. And nope.
Yeah. Zero to six.
Zero.
Someone else is your uncle.
Hopefully someone out there listening got at least one of those right. I'm sure someone got the Mike Trout one right.
I think part of it is like we're getting so used to asking each other questions that we're trying to work around the things that we know are obvious. You know, I can't ask you a question about who wrote the song Cherry Pie.
Right.
You know, Warren. Because you're going to know that.
Right.
Because you love music, you know, and history.
And I can't ask you a question about who was the video game designer for Super Mario Brothers.
Oh, I get so many of these questions wrong. I think at this point you could ask me anything, Mark. All right. We're going to take a little break and we'll be back with Rate My Question.
Ooh.
Maybe more than one. We'll see.
Oh.
Let's do a rate my question. Bada 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 bada
bada bada bada bada. Rate my question. I always forget the Ray my question pun. It's so good.
It's the reason for the season, my man.
What are his kids' names?
Matthew, Gregory, Alexandria, and Joseph.
I told you Joseph today.
Thanks for, yeah.
Well, yeah, no, I'm going to be honest.
I couldn't remember Joseph.
I don't want any more 2-star ratings.
Yep, and sorry to anybody I might have offended as referring to Joseph as Jesus' dad. He's more of a stepdad, I guess. You know, I didn't realize until I was editing it. I was like, oh, that's hilarious. You know, my Bible's all messed up, guys, in my brain. So anyway, I worked to great efforts here. To open these Rate My Question emails in a manner that I would not see the answer so that we could try and factor them out together. So, you know, you're welcome. You're welcome is what I'm saying for that.
Thank you for that. Also, his daughter's name is Alexandra.
Sorry, I put that X-ray in there. I in there. The hey, X-ray. What's the name of my new movie, a Netflix original Duplass guy?
Oh, what is that called? It's like one word, I think. I know what it's about.
I'm dying.
He gets cancer, and he's like,
hey, go across the country with me.
So you're going to put me, of all people, in your mumblecore movie?
You want me to be a hipster?
A mumblecore man? I speak very eloquently.
What's it called? I can't remember.
Paddleton. The movie is called Paddleton.
Yeah, I'm in a new motion picture called Paddleton. Give thanks.
All right, let's rate these questions. The first one comes to us from Jeffrey D. I like this question. In the span of 11 months from 1991 to 1992, what state hosted the NHL Finals, the U.S. Open Golf Tournament, the World Series, the Super Bowl, and the NCAA Final Four? Now, here's my thoughts. These are my thoughts. You need a state that can handle indoor and outdoor sports of many varieties, including field sports, such as the Super Bowl, the World Series, golf. You need indoor spots for the NHL Finals, the Final Four. I'm thinking, what's one state that's got them all? California.
California's a really good guess. A lot of big cities.
Indeed.
I was trying to think of places that have golf. The U.S. Open, like different popular golf courses. was thinking Georgia. I was thinking Georgia. But California is a really good guess.
NHL in Georgia?
Hmm.
Do they even have a team?
No.
In 91?
No.
I mean, I thought, like, yeah, Olympics, Atlanta, early 90s, you know.
Hmm.
But I don't think so.
Yeah, let's go with California.
All right, I'm going to open the email here, and we'll see what's what. Oh, there's extra questions even in here.
Oh, man.
May 1991, NHL Finals. June 1991, U.S. Open. October 1991, World Series. January 1992, Super Bowl. April 1992, Final Four in Minnesota. Minnesota.
You know, I was going to say at some point, because early on, they used to have the Super Bowl wherever the fuck.
Mm-hmm.
Then they started doing it specifically in places where there would not be snow and cold to try and equalize, because a lot of people would be like, well, the Patriots are playing the Cowboys or whatever, and the Cowboys live in Texas. It's a huge fucking detriment to them that mm-hmm. they're playing somewhere where it's snowy and cold.
Right.
And it's a huge, you know, uptick for, you know, a team like the Bears or the, you know, the Vikings or the Patriots or whoever.
Can I just say it is a disadvantage, but I kind of like the idea of that disadvantage. You know what I mean?
A lot of people love it.
Yeah.
A lot of people.
It's like you got to go show your mettle in other terrains, you know?
Well, they also started having a lot of problem with like clearing snow off the field and blah, 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 blah.
That does sound annoying and expensive.
But it's awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, but it's playing in the elements, baby.
Right.
That's football, baby.
I think that's a great question.
That is a great question.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I don't know that it needs any other hints or anything.
No,
just
I
because
just
we got
that.
It wrong. That's a good fact. Mm-hmm. Just straight up fact. Here's the next one. This one comes from Mike E. A theatrical run is the time a movie spends appearing in a theater at least once per week. Which movie holds the record for the longest theatrical run?
Oh. Did you look up the answer to this?
No. Like Ooh. I said, I opened
I know,
the emails
I know you
with
did
my
your best.
And my hand shielding, and then I would scroll line by line until I got it, and I could copy it down, and I closed the email very quickly. So I just figured, yeah, let's talk it over here. For what some reason, I don't know. I feel like in the mid to late aughts, this record was broken.
Okay.
Which makes me think Avatar, maybe?
I mean...
But that was not that well received.
Avatar is obviously one of the...
It had a big opening. It was much anticipated.
I saw it.
Was it...
You saw it?
Oh, yeah, I saw it. I liked it.
In the theater?
Yeah, I enjoyed it.
3D or regular?
I think I watched it... I sadly watched it in 3D.
I think everybody did.
Yeah, they were pushing it hard.
Oh,
they
yeah.
were like, this is the way to experience this movie.
Well, because he wasn't the whole deal that he wasn't going to make the movie until 3D technology had caught up to snuff, like what he wanted to do.
It's probably what his publicist says. but this longest theatrical run, do you think it has any merit there as the longest theatrical run, Avatar? Does that sound right to you?
Maybe Titanic? I'm thinking one of those movies that was like huge.
What if it's a sleeper like Guardians of the Galaxy?
Could be.
Where it's just so beloved that it just doesn't go away.
We love it so much we can't take it anymore.
It's like, wow, who thought this one would go on for 56 weeks? I don't know. Is it an Avengers movie, maybe?
I don't think so.
What you got?
I don't know, man. I'd say, I mean, all I can do is think that it's going to be one of those movies that maybe Frozen?
No.
Okay.
I don't know. I mean, that
Let's
was a big movie.
Let's go with
movie,
Avatar.
But...
It's okay. It's the biggest it's the biggest move box office movie.
All right. Let's go with it. All right. I'm opening it up here. The answer is the Rocky Horror Picture Show. Which has been shown at least one theater somewhere in the United States every week since its opening weekend over 40 years ago.
Wow.
I mean, okay. I mean, I'm going to have to take his word on that. It is. I know there are showings everywhere.
Yeah.
Usually, so I don't
doubt
it. It's
like the Room 30 years before.
But is it just assumed that it's been showing every week? I want to see some facts. some figures.
I want to see every week.
This sounds like an assumption, you know, but
I would maybe throw in what cult movie or something.
Yeah, I mean, this, like I said, this makes sense, but I would have never guessed this.
I don't doubt
there's,
it at
there's
all.
A logic behind it.
I don't doubt it at all. But I think it's a great question.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's maybe a little too hard.
Yeah. It's a good thing to know, to have as a trivia player, you know, just mm-hmm. in your back pocket, like, oh, this is a fact, you know. I think records are just generally good to study, you know, if you're a player.
What letter grade would you give it?
This one, a theatrical run. I like the setup because it explains what a theatrical run is defined as. So that's
great.
Yeah, that's awesome. Which movie holds the record for the longest theatrical run? Pretty straightforward. Maybe you could use a hint. I'll give it an A-. There's nothing wrong with it
with
as a question.
With some kind of quantifier, some kind of
maybe
hint.
Maybe an like, A. Even
like,
A.
Like
95.
Cult, Jesus. Like cult movie or something like that, I'd give it an A to an A+. I'd probably give that an A-.
Right on. Okay. So there you have it. Those are our Rate My Questions. You can submit your own Rate My Questions. Just email us at nononsensetrivia@gmail.com. If you hear anything that sounds out of sorts on this episode, you can send us a missed correction. You could just send us a letter of love, which we might be reading one later. We will be. I'll tell you. Yeah. All right. Let's go ahead and get into our second round now. I'll go first this time.
Yes, you will.
History question for you. I know it's your favorite, but
so good.
It's written in a way that, you know, this is a hidden multiple choice question. Ooh. You know, as we've talked about, which founding father was so intrigued by the metric system that he invited a French scientist to demonstrate its value to Congress, which is an event that never occurred due to the scientist's kidnapping by actual pirates of the Caribbean.
That's insane.
Caribbean?
Which
Caribbean? One?
Pirates of the Caribbean.
Caribbean.
I feel like Pirates of the Caribbean. If you're saying Pirates of the Caribbean, I think you gotta say Caribbean. But I think if you're just talking about the Caribbean, Caribbean cruises.
Mm-hmm.
It's very musical.
Yeah.
Caribbean cruises.
Caribbean cruises.
But then you've got Pirates of the Caribbean.
Mm-hmm.
It's got that
which
like,
has a rhythm
da,
to
da,
it.
Da, 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 da.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's 18th notes. I'm going to say my dude, the man, Ben Franklin.
It does sound Franklin-esque, doesn't it?
It does.
It is not Ben Franklin.
Okay.
It was then Secretary of State Thomas Jefferson, actually.
Huh.
Yep. The scientist's name was Joseph Dombey. And he was dispatched with a small weighted cylinder, but a storm threw his boat off course. They were overtaken by pirates, and he died in captivity.
Damn.
So if not for that, we might be using the metric system in the United States today.
Do you think Thomas Jefferson came up with the idea to use the metric system while he was having sex with his slaves?
I think it was probably, he had probably other things on his mind in those moments.
Okay.
But, you know. I'm not in his head. I don't know what decisions he would make.
Do you not, while you're having sex, do you not think about the benefits of the metric system?
It's not at the front of my mind, no.
You're not like...
Usually it's the moments where I don't have sex available
like
that
how many
those
centimeters long is my dick?
My mind. centimeters is a lot larger number than inches.
Exactly. It makes me feel real good. Okay.
Yeah.
Here is your first question
mm-hmm.
of... the second round. Which three states share a border with California?
Which three states share a border with California? That would be Nevada, Washington. No, Oregon. Wait, fuck. Which one's north? It's Oregon is the answer. And then Washington is not next to California. So Oregon, Nevada, and... is it Colorado? I'm going to go with Colorado.
The correct answer is Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
Nevada.
Mm-hmm.
And Arizona.
Oh, really?
Really.
Shit. That makes way more sense. That. California, I knew when I said, or Colorado, I knew when I said it, I was like, that's a little too far east, homie. It's totally surrounded by other states that are not California.
Yourself, homie.
Yep. Presumably Nevada and Arizona. All right. Got a punctuation question for you. So again, we're over eight now on this episode.
Beautiful.
See how you do here. The Octothorpe is a lesser The Octothorpe is a lesser known name for what punctuation mark?
Can I get a clarification by what you mean by punctuation mark?
It is a mark used in grammar.
At the end of a sentence?
I mean, those are punctuation marks? No, because like there's
quotes,
parentheses, ampersands, everything. Yeah, it's at the top of the
Octothorpe.
Keyboard.
Can I get a spelling?
O-C-T-O-T-H-O-R-P.
The only thing that I can think of that would make sense would be an asterisk. Like it has 8 points. I'm going to say an asterisk.
A lot of teams wrote that down, but it is actually the pound signed or the hashtag signed sign.
Why?
Well, octo is for one of each of the 8 points on the end of the line. Thorpe means it's an old word, which means village or hamlet. But the exact meaning has never been explicitly stated, but this was known to have been coined in the 1960s and 70s by Bell Labs telephone operators, part of their lingo, the Octothorpe.
Fantastic.
You're very angry about that.
Let me find another hard one for you.
Wow. Did you think that one was that hard?
Yeah. I thought it was a little difficult.
You thought somebody looked at an asterisk and said, "Ah, I know what'll clear this up. We'll call it an Octothorpe."
Here's a question about the atomic, the table of elements.
You son of a bitch!
Which metal has the chemical symbol W?
Which metal? I don't know the answer. Okay. Right away. So this is going to be another pure guess. We're going to continue with our reign of shame here. Two episodes in a row? Was Maybe. Last episode? No, that was with Max. You did okay that episode.
Did all right.
Better than me. It's really helpful when we have guests in here to have somebody to bounce off of. I don't think it's silver. I know it's not gold. That would be au jus. AU, the golden gravy,
as it's well known. it's a well known name.
The golden gravy.
And what's silver?
I don't know. It might be SL, or it might be SV, or it might be W. I'm uncertain about it. I don't think it's. See, that's the thing. I'm going to say I don't think it's all these other ones, but I don't know them. So, there's iron. There's copper. There's tin. There's aluminium.
You're going to go through all the metals, huh?
I'm trying to get a lay of the land here. I feel like a lot of my problems on the podcast are that I don't like really think about the question properly. You know, like when I get a geography question about, you know, how many countries start with the letter J, my mind went to a map. I should be going to like an alphabetized list in my mind, you know? So I'm just trying to lay everything out from my dark place right now. Take my time with it a little bit.
Right.
Know?
Bat it around like a cat does a dead mouse.
Yeah. Or a clue. Got a clue for me?
Ball of yarn.
Ball of yarn. You remember that?
It's none of the things you mentioned.
Okay. What I was getting at is a clue is another name for a ball of yarn. And that it takes time to unravel it. Mm-hmm. That's true. True trivia right there.
That's awesome.
None of the ones that I've mentioned. Great. So Silver included.
Yes. Silver's AG.
AG. I'll write down or submit Mercury, even though I don't think that's the answer, but I'm having trouble coming up with any other guesses that aren't things I've already listed.
The correct answer is tungsten.
Tungsten. W. Interesting. Okay. Tungsten is used in lights.
Yep.
Yep. That's what I know of it.
There you go.
All right.
That's some more true trivia for you folks.
That's right. And you're feeling confident we won't see a missed correction on that one, is what you're saying.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Here's an astronomy question for you.
Oh, great.
It's got a little bit of literature involved.
Which is something else I'm great with.
Yeah. So we'll see. You might know this. You might know this as a quiz master. I feel like this is a popular trivia item.
Okay.
I'll give you 50-50 on this. You might get it. You might not get it. One or the other. Here's the question. Sweet moon, I thank thee for thy sunny beams. I thank thee, moon, for shining now so bright. These are lines by William Shakespeare from his play, A Midsummer Night's Dream. Astronomers have joined in the playwright's appreciation for by naming moons of which planet after the bard's characters. What planet in our solar system has moons mostly named after Shakespeare characters?
All right, it's not Earth, it's not Mars. Venus doesn't have moons, if I remember correctly. Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus. Neptune doesn't have moons. I can't even remember how many planets do not have moons.
I believe I said two. Venus. I've never heard Venus has no moons. And I think it was two.
Which I think it was Mercury and Venus didn't have moons. When was Billy Shakespeare alive? Do you remember? B Shakes?
I wanna say 12th century, 13th century maybe.
God, isn't it so crazy people were alive back then?
Yeah, it is.
God damn. When we know that we're in the 21st century and you're talking about the 12th fucking century, motherfuckers were writing shit in the 12th century. How nuts.
Oh, way later, actually. 17th century.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was going to say that
died 1616.
He did died. Which I mean is still nuts. Fudge. I'm going to say Jew.
Was that a submission of an answer?
I'm thinking I should go the one with the most moons. And I just have a better chance. I'm going to say Jupiter.
That would be a lot of characters. Because there are many, many moons, including Ganymede. Which I don't believe is a Shakespeare character.
So what you're saying is I'm wrong.
You are wrong. Named by John Herschel. Did I give you any clues?
It's Uranus.
Yep. Named by John Herschel, the son of William Herschel, previously mentioned on this podcast. The original idea was that Uranus, as the god of sky and air, would be named after pixies and fairies from literature rather than Greek gods and characters of Greek origin. The common practice with new discoveries of moons since John Herschel's time is to continue to use names inspired by their works, but most, by the works of Shakespeare and Alexander Pope, but most have been Shakespeare exclusively from 13 different works. Why don't you give me a play by Shakespeare and I'll tell you what the moon named after a character from it is.
Hamlet.
Ophelia is a moon.
Midsummer's Night's Dream.
Titania, Oberon, and Puck. Three moons named after characters from that.
Othello.
Desdemona.
Romeo and Juliet.
Uranus actually has a moon named Juliet, as well as Mab from that play.
Question, is this your third question?
I believe so, yeah.
You might pull this out.
Okay.
But maybe not. Who played the role of Bud Bundy on the television series Married with Children? Ooh, reaching for the glasses.
Bud Bundy. This is going to be funny.
I know you like TV.
Yeah, and I did watch the show as a young child.
But a lot of people, you know,
I had a little,
Ed O'Neill.
I had a TV.
Went on to do a number of projects, including Modern Family.
Wayne's World.
Wayne's World. I wonder if anybody's done Wayne's World.
Wasn't he in Copland or brothers. Something, too?
Maybe.
He had
of course,
bit
Christina
roles.
Applegate.
I was going to say, I don't remember her character name, but I remember Christina Applegate.
Her character name was, there was Al, there was Bud.
His son, Peggy.
There was Peggy, and there was...
who has since gone on to be in Sons of Anarchy.
And?
Futurama.
Futurama.
Plays Lula.
You know, I was thinking, Lilo. I was trying to... I was like, is her name Leela? And then I looked it up, and it was not Leela.
It's not Leela?
No. Maybe it is.
It is Leela.
Is it?
Leela. I'm trying to imagine Billy West saying it. Leela, get over here. Anyway.
But then there's this guy.
Yeah. And his name is... I'm trying to love and marriage, love and marriage, go together like
Leela.
A horse and carriage.
Ask the local gentry, and they will say it's elementary.
Yeah, so that's the theme. The name is not popping up in my dark place. Bud Bundy, played by...
So real quick,
yeah,
Katie Sagal was married. Peggy was married to Jack White.
What?
But not that Jack White.
Oh.
She was married to a guy named Jack White who was in the Mighty Ducks.
One of the
two
kids?
And three. Maybe.
Now she's married to the creator of the Sons of Anarchy, I believe, a show which she's on.
Yeah, Kurt Sutter.
I don't remember the actor's name who played Bud Bundy. I'm going to continue my reign of failure here.
His name is David
Fincher.
No, you don't. That didn't help. No. David Faustino.
No idea.
Jamie came out with that one. He was the only person that got it right.
Very good. Very good. Congratulations to him. All right. So that's, I think, 3-3, right?
What an episode this is. This is just draining.
We're
me.
All learning stuff. We're all, it's fine.
Yeah. You know? No, I mean, you know, I think people probably love watching us suffer.
Yeah. And especially if they're getting it right.
Yeah.
It's probably a heavy degree. I think we're discovering now there's a much heavier degree of schadenfreude in our listener base than we gave credit for.
Absolutely.
Right. We're going to hear from a listener when we come back right before our final question. We usually do trivia on the podcast, but I'm going to throw a little did you know at you.
You know, I like a did you know.
Did you know? Not a question, just a statement.
Well, that did is a know? Question that I'll answer with a yes or no.
You're right. Fair enough. Fair enough. Did you know, Mark, that one out of every listens to our podcast comes from the country of, do you want to guess?
No, because I know I'm just going to sound stupid.
It's fine. As opposed to win. No personal offense,
wow.
But no personal offense,
holy
but this episode.
Shit.
No, we just got done talking about you know, the Schadenfreude aspect of this. But what do you got to lose here?
Just tell me.
Australia.
Really?
That's right. It surprised me a little bit, too. I was recently looking at the stats because we got a very nice letter from a listener in Australia named Chris. So I was curious about what's our Australian listenership like? It's like it's our second most listener country aside from the United States.
Well, I'll tell you, you remember that I asked you about Cardinal George Pell.
Yes.
Who got sent to the Slammer.
And I listened to that song.
Tim Minchin. Mm-hmm. And?
Great song.
It's great.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The guy is great. The guy's a genius. Mm-hmm. He's and a lot of his other stand-up stuff is really good.
It's not just that it's a funny song, because it's not even a particularly funny song.
No.
It's the act of making the song. Yes. And the catch-22
yeah.
that is presented in the song.
If you brilliant. Haven't listened to it, I'm not even going to give it away. Yeah, it's called Come Home.
Mm-hmm.
It is so good.
Yeah.
And it's basically like, there is a law that you're not allowed to like talk negatively about him.
Right.
There's a lot of that church and state action going on and him getting around it. And it's clever.
Yeah. Cause it's like a love song. Almost like come home. We miss you.
But it's so but, angry.
Yeah.
And it's so well done.
And yeah, we shouldn't spoil it.
Yeah. You just need to go listen to it. Yep. But I told my friend who lives in Australia, who I had met on Facebook, that I asked that question because she had originally told me about him. So she listened to the episode. She got all excited about trivia. She's like, you know what? I used to play trivia. This makes me want to go back out. She ended up going out with some friends and getting first place and winning.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I like to hear.
Yeah, me too.
Well, let's hear from Chris real quick.
I'd love to.
Chris writes, hey guys, just want to drop you a line to let you know my wife and I are from Canberra, Australia. And spent 6 weeks driving up the west and east U.S. coasts, San Fran to Vancouver and Washington, D.C. to Quebec City late last year. So we were in the car a lot, and we were presently surprised to stumble upon you guys and listened to you continuously. Since we've been back home, we continue to listen to the podcast on our weekend trips to the coast. We are frequent trivia attendees and would have loved to have got down to Florida and gone to one of yours, but alas. Alas, I think means 30 extra hours in the car.
Not happening.
Might be a bit much for a trivia
night.
Not on
this ride.
Yeah, we appreciate the thought, though, Chris. Chris continues, we are interested to observe how many U.S.-based questions you guys seem to have, and joked that we seem to know more U.S. president answers than you both. In comparison, I reckon there would be less than 5% Australian-based questions in most trivia nights here, and 95% international history, geography, sport, pop culture, etc. I host a few trivia nights each year, so I love your tips and hints.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm. A few of your tidbits have seeped into our psyche, calling Namibia, Nabibia, calling the cute Australian, not Indian, egg-laying mammals, platypuses, platypussies, and singing the Missed Corrections theme song to people to tell them that they are wrong.
Oh, that's so awesome.
None of which anyone we speak to has a fuck what we are talking about. I love the way that's phrased.
Me too.
You have a fuck or you
that
don't have a fuck?
Sounds very Australian.
Yeah. So from the other side of the world, keep up the good work and best of luck with Trump. Cheers, Chris.
Best yeah. of luck with Trump. Yeah, that's perfect. Yeah, we'll need it.
That's the situation we're in. We need some luck.
Absolutely.
All we got is luck on our side. Yeah. I don't know where that luck should be
really
interjected.
Really hoping that Mueller report was going to do something that seems to have not done much. Anyway, thank you very much, Chris. I really, really appreciate that. And I hope next time you and your wife come to the States, you guys will find your way down here. Because I'm sure we'd both love to have you on the podcast and at our trivias.
Yeah, I'd love to hear that miscorrections shouted at me live from some Australians that are in the house when I say something
absolutely
off. So thanks, Chris. Thanks for listening. Glad, and thank you to our listeners in Australia, also Canada, the United Kingdom. We have some decent listenership there as well. Thanks, everybody, for listening.
Yeah, we really, really appreciate it.
Mm-hmm. And thanks also to our Patreon supporters for helping us out with the show. Thanks to Mike, our special kind of person from earlier. Thanks to our quiz daddies, Tommy from the Electric Mud, and Tim from San Diego, who is a member of the trivia team, Pat's Garden Service. Thank you, quiz daddies. Thanks also to our team captains, Kristen and Fletcher, and our proverbial light keepers, Brina, Carly, Christopher, Quizmaster Josh from Tennessee, and Moist Max, Moist Lucas, Sean, Sherry, Gil. Thank you, light keepers, for keeping the proverbial lights on. And of course, thank you to our Rumpelstiltskins, Mike C., Mike J., and Nick.
And if any of you are going to be down this way or over this way, please let us know. Mm-hmm. I still want to get Gil over here.
Yeah.
I know, I think I mentioned it before, I'm going to be going to see Weird Al here in a couple months. Maybe I can't get you, convince you to come over and watch Weird Al with us, and maybe I'll bring a laptop with us and do an episode with Gil while we're over there.
Just eat it.
Thank you, Lee. Maybe we'll go over there and commit some word crimes.
There you go. Thanks, everybody. Thanks for your support. If you'd like to support the podcast, get access to some bonus content. We've got it going up pretty regularly now, at least for the past week.
Yeah, a couple of people have listened to the lost episode.
Yep.
I finally got a chance to listen to it. Loved it.
Yeah, I think it's good.
Very, very good stuff.
Go to thenono.com and click support. It'll take you right to our Patreon. All right, you ready for our final round of questions?
Yeah, and I believe I go first this round.
Yep.
All right, here's your final question. Mount Pinatubo, whose 1991 eruption caused 10 times more ash than Mount St. Helens had, can be found on what island nation?
Mount
Pinatubo, Pinatubo.
1991, you said?
Indeed.
Popular year for this episode. Had a range of sports occurring in Minnesota, sports championships. All the while, this baby's ready to blow.
I have a lot of pressure.
I need
relief.
If volcanoes could talk, that's exactly how they'd sound.
I'm all worked up inside.
I'm pent up.
All this liquid hot magma's got to go somewhere.
It's like edging. Volcanoes.
The Earth's edging.
Our Earth's edging.
Oh, man. What's magma then?
It's semen. Magma's come.
Magma's just the Earth's semen, everybody.
That out.
Get on board.
I wonder if there's like a magmaic pre-cum.
I'm sure there is. Maybe we can get an earth scientist on at some point, an expert. It'd be cool to get experts on, knowledge experts, you know, and get some live miscorrections, everything we say. Anyway, Mount
Pinatubo.
Pinatubo. I'm thinking it's, I'm feeling like New Zealand, maybe. New Zealand is an island nation. It seems like, I don't know why, but like, extra letters that aren't in like the Hawaiian alphabet. Like, I don't know if they have P. Do they have P in the Hawaiian alphabet? There's only like 11 letters, I think, in the Hawaiian alphabet.
I think it's 13.
Oh, okay. So, but anyway, I don't think it's Hawaii.
I don't think so.
I don't think it's Japan, the Philippines, I don't think. I don't know. Pinatubo sounds kind of like New Zealand. I'm going with it.
The correct answer is the Philippines.
I had no idea. I had no idea Mount Pinatubo was in the Philippines.
Now you do, though.
Pinatubo, Philippines. Both with P's.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Ooh.
Interesting.
Interesting.
Good to know. Okay. Here's your final question. This is the one that the Hideaways at Bury Me Brewing, they might have won if not for not wagering on this correct answer. They're the only team that got it right. What nursery rhyme character's name is associated with another name for a half a cup or 4 ounces of liquid? You see, all of this could have been prevented had one Joseph Dombey made his way over to the United States from France. And using the metric system, this would be a little easier for you. But no.
Had to get
the pirates get captured. The Pirates of the Caribbean.
Look at me. I'm the captain now, they said to him.
Mm-hmm. Where is that movie? by the way. This Joseph Dombey metric thing, I think that's like ripe for a movie adaptation.
Yeah.
You know, he even looks kind of like the High Sparrow from Game of Thrones. It's so close. Get this actor. Look at this guy. Doesn't that look like the High Sparrow from Game of Thrones?
Yep.
Yeah. Joseph Dombey. Absolutely. We'll put that up on the show notes there.
What
nursery rhyme character's name is associated with another name for a half a cup or 4 ounces of liquid, roughly 4 ounces?
Little Jack Horner. Humpty Dumpty. Trying to think of nursery rhymes and now I'm drawing a blank. Half a cup. I don't even know. Like a term for half a cup.
You would probably say half cup. As many do.
Half cup.
Yep.
But there's another name for it.
There's another name for it. I wonder if Dallas knows this. We had that whole Mother Goose fiasco.
Yeah, as soon as he said Mother Hubbard, I thought of him.
Not Hans Christian Andersen.
No.
Many people wore the Mother Goose hat. Many men.
Many a man.
Many a man.
Maybe one woman. But only because she hung out with kids. Yeah. She's some creepo. Humpty Dumpty.
Bartender, a Humpty of your finest well. It's Wednesday. I'm going to need a Humpty. Give me 2 Humpties, call it a Dumpty.
That's what 2 Humpties is. 1 full cup is a Dumpty. 2 Humpties equals a Dumpty.
I love it. Let's not even finish the question. Let's just rewrite the answer to be 2 Humpties equals a Dumpty. To be fair,
I'm gonna say Miss Muffet.
I had a couple teams write that down. It is not a Muffet. And it is not a Jack, which other teams wrote down, which is a unit of measurement. Mm. But it is a Jill. A Jill is a half a cup of liquid or 4 ounce. Just a warning to anyone who has strong opinions on how the word GIF is pronounced, either GIF or JIF. This is another case where the G has a J sound. It is G-I-L-L, a Jill.
Really?
Spelled G-I-L-L. Yep. And a Jack is actually a half a Jill. So a quarter cup about is a Jack. A half a cup is a Jill. And for a while, the Jill was a standard measuring unit in British pubs. Actually, you would order liquor by the Jill. And in Scotland, there were even additional sizes. For example, you could order a Big Jill, which would be 1.5 Imperial Jills, or a Wee Jill, tiny little Jill,
0.5.
three quarter, or a Wee Half Jill, or finally, a Nip. If you just want a little Nip, you could order, which was 1 quarter.
Which is one of Jill's nipples.
One quarter Imperial Jill.
Did you say Jill is a half a Jack?
A Jack is a half a Jill.
A Jack is a half a Jill.
Mm-hmm. Jill's bigger.
So there's a Jill, which is half a cup.
Mm-hmm.
There's a Jack, which is a quarter of a cup.
Right. But these were not done in cups, you know, in Britain.
Right.
You know, but so there are other slightly different measurements.
A wee Jill was basically like a Jack and a quarter of the difference between a Jack and a Jill.
A wee Jill is 3/4 Jill. So, yeah.
Man, that's so confusing.
And then a wee half Jill is 3/8. So slightly less than or slightly more than a Jack.
But you wouldn't call it half a Jack.
This is in Scotland, so these alternate sizes are in Scotland.
So there's no so Jack exists.
They might not use the Jack, yeah. They might just have to different descriptors for the type of Jill that you want.
Do you remember the hit AC/DC song, She's Got the Jack?
No, I don't really remember that one.
Put that in the show notes.
Okay. For you, I will do that.
They're Australian.
If you're listening along and you somehow recognize this answer, or if you're playing with somebody and they recognize it, I'm going to spoil how they might know it here in popular culture. You may recognize the answer from George Orwell's Animal Farm, where Moses the Raven is allotted a gill of beer a day after his return with the leaders. So implying that, like, now he's been bought off, paid off, you know, by the leaders.
Now he's an alcoholic.
Yeah, he gets a gill a day of beer. It's also, the phrase appears in a Simpsons episode, Bart the Genius, where he goes to the special school, where Bart unwittingly trades 4 gills for 1,000 picoliters of milk, which he lost about about a full pint in the trade there.
Oof.
On that Simpsons episode. But relating it to the nursery rhyme, this is from Wikipedia here. It has also been suggested that the rhyme records the attempt by King Charles I to reform the taxes on liquid measurements. He was blocked by Parliament, so subsequently ordered that the volume of a jack, 1/8 of a pint, be reduced, but the tax remained the same. So tax the same amount for the same amount, but give less of the liquid. This meant that he still received more tax despite Parliament's veto. Hence, Jack fell down and broke his crown. Many pint glasses in the UK still have a line marking the half point level with a crown above it. And Jill came tumbling after. The reference to Jill is said to reflect that the Jill dropped in volume as a consequence. So that is apparently the association between the nursery rhyme and the unit of measurement, the Jill.
Well, hot damn.
Yeah. What do you think about that?
I think it's really interesting.
Yeah.
I didn't know. It's kind of like learning, like, the whole ashes, ashes, we all fall down thing is supposedly, which I've heard it is not, but supposedly it was about the Black Plague. Or
whatever. Oh, okay. I thought it was about the Black Plague. That's what I heard, too.
I'd heard it's not.
Hmm.
I've heard some back and forth.
We'll have to look into this, maybe for a miscorrection. Yeah. You've just suggested it, so now it's on record. We gotta do something. We'll talk about it next time, though. Let's go ahead and wrap this puppy up.
Wrap her up.
All right. That concludes this episode of the No Nonsense Trivia Podcast. My name is Lee Breschneider. You can catch me hosting No Nonsense Trivia live on Mondays at Three Pepper Burrito Company in downtown Fort Myers at 7:30. Don't forget about our April Fool's Trivia there tonight, April 1st. Then we'll be at Bury Me Brewing Company on Wednesdays, also in Fort Myers. Those start at 7 o'clock, and then right afterwards, closing up shop around 8:30, just enough time to scoot over to downtown Cape Coral and see Mark Davis at Nice Guys Trivia.
Yeah.
That starts at 9, and then you can catch us each and every Thursday evening at Number 3 Craft Brews and Beer Bar in downtown Cape Coral, that show starting at 7:30. So thanks for listening, everybody. Hope you had fun. Join us again next Monday for a new episode of the No Nonsense Trivia Podcast. You can support us on Patreon by going to our website, thenono.com. How do you spell that, Mark?
THEKNOWNO.
That's correct. 5 points to you.
.com.
Thank you.
That's the only thing I've gotten right all day.
Yeah, I guess we all fall down, don't we? To use the parlance of the episode. But anyways, if you want to help us buy some night classes so we could study up.
Yeah,
this,
please.
We're like 3 weeks straight on just failing just on most rough questions. It's really, I don't know, maybe we need to lighten up on each other a little bit. Write us if you have an opinion.
Or maybe write us and let us know if you, like, answers that you got right that I did not. Marissa, who's one of our listeners every once in a while, as a matter of fact, she sent me a Snapchat of her listening to the question about Michael Skarn.
Yeah.
And I'd mentioned on the podcast that she's a huge Office fan.
Yeah.
Probably the biggest Office fan I know. And she'll sometimes send me snaps where she knows the answer and she's listening. And she'll be, yeah, she's like, Michael Skarn, Michael Skarn. And then you said Michael Skarn. And I said, oh, blah, blah, Marissa. And she's like, that's me.
Yeah. Nice.
So, yeah, if there's anything where you're like, you know, where you knew and neither of us did and we were like, you know, how in the hell would anybody know this? Reach out and let us know how dumb we are, maybe.
Yeah, hit us up in the email, nononsensetrivia@gmail.com. You can hit us up on our accounts, too. Like, you can send us video messages like that at nononsensetrivia.
Yeah, on Twitter, I'm at guardmybed. Mm-hmm. I've been a little more active on there.
If you want to call it active, you're like saying, let's stop using the word dope. Well, I saw you. You got a lot of pushback for that.
I really did. You know? By people that I didn't think really used it a lot.
I saw that tweet and I was like, either way.
Yeah, I mean, it is what it is. Yeah. It's just one of those words that made its way back that I think is just getting.
Really? This again? Really? Dope? Really?
I lived through the initial dope.
Yeah.
Now I have to relive it.
What are we going to start saying bogus next?
Gnarly, bro.
All right. Anyways, the point is, write to us, please. We could use some guidance on, are the questions too hard on here? Is it just us? Is it us?
Bro, you can be honest with us. Is it us?
Yeah. Anyway, we appreciate all the listens, all the shares. Please also hit up Florida Weekly. Let them know we exist. And other platforms as well. Every little bit helps. Don't forget to rate us on any service that we're on. We're on Player FM now, too. Absolutely. If you like Player FM and you notice that we weren't on there before, you can go find us on there and add us into your queue. Looks like a great service. And thanks to them for adding us. All right. That's it for us today. Until next time, No Nonsense listeners, have a great week, and we'll see you soon. I don't know if we're going to be seeing you necessarily. If you take us up on our offer to message us videos of you responding.
You're welcome to come here and visit with us if you want to.
Mm-hmm, in a public setting. In a public setting.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, so just have a great week.
Yeah. But again, if you want to see us, you know, I don't want to give my personal address here. But you know, if you want to hit me up, you can come visit, and if you're not too creepy, maybe you can crash my place or whatever. So
yeah, you won't be able to crash at my place, but hit up Mark about that, and I will see you in a public setting for sure. Maybe that was a little cold. I don't know.
Don't want to be mean about it.
Yeah. You know,
it's not that we don't want to see you.
I'm just a private type of person.
Yeah.
I'm more of a private type of person. That's all.
I'm kind of the face. Like, he does all the behind the scenes stuff. I'm kind of the face.
Yeah.
Of the whole thing. So, I, you know, and I'm maybe a little bit more of a people person. So I could, you know, I could handle that. But so maybe get in touch with me and then leave Lee alone. And maybe I'll see you soon.
And don't forget to rate us 5 stars, please. Thank you.
And no 2 stars.